Thank you, Simon. Why don't we pray and we'll hear from God's word. Loving Father, we're just so grateful that we can meet together here on a Sunday, and we all have different weeks that we've come from today and different things have been going on in our lives, Lord. But you bring us here on a Sunday morning to hear from your word, and so I do pray that you would speak to us, speak to each one of us, something that we need to hear, something that might encourage us, Lord. But may we hear from you today as we unpack these verses that we've read here together this morning. So we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I thought that I'd begin the message with a little bit of a thought experiment. So everyone for a moment, imagine that you wake up in the middle of the night and your house is on fire. Smoke and flames are engulfing the house, and there's only a short time for you to get out. And this means that there's only a limited amount of time for you to grab some stuff on the way out the door. So my question is, as we're thinking about this, is what are the things that you grab on the way out the door? The house is burning down around you and you only have a few precious moments to grab something on the way out. So what is it that you stop to get? Now, hopefully most of us would start with our family and our pets. But I wonder, beyond that, what do we value enough in our lives to actually stop and save? Is it your phone, your wallet, maybe your laptop? What about a special painting or a set of car keys or some jewelry? Maybe even a photograph or a box of photographs. I wonder what it might be for each of us that we stop for. Now, hopefully none of us ever actually find ourselves in this position, but it is actually pretty insightful to think about the things that we actually treasure and value most in our lives. The things that we would choose to save actually start to reveal the things that are important to us in our hearts. And that is the subject of this morning's message, searching our hearts and considering what is it that we treasure most in this world. So if you've been with us, which as I can see most of you have been, we've been working through a series called Heart Matters. And so we saw 2 weeks ago that the greatest commandment for us is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That's where we started. But the trouble is, as we heard last week, our hearts can actually deceive us. They can lead us to seek created things instead of the Creator. And so today we're going to consider what some of the things might be that could be stealing our affection away from God. So first of all, let me remind you of our Bible reading this morning. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So today we're actually going to flip things on its head and start with verse 21, which is the thing that we've been already considering this morning with our burning house analogy. What Jesus teaches us here is that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in other words, the treasures of life, the things that we consider valuable, whether it's God or a possession or a person or some non-physical thing, whatever it might be, we value these things so greatly because they've actually captured the affections of our heart. This is something that we've heard already. Our heart has affections. It has desires. It has passions and longings and a will of its own. And so that means we have all those things. We have, you know, we have desires. We have passions. We have a will to have things. And these things these passions, these desires, they're supposed to be geared towards God, the love of God. They're supposed to be driven by the love of God. But the trouble is, our hearts can go astray. They can be captivated by these other things. So much so that we begin to treasure these alternatives in a way that is sinful and ultimately destructive for us. So what might be some of these things which our hearts treasure so greatly? Well, all I did was have a look in Matthew chapter 6, and I found three. So we're going to work our way through those now, which is where this passage of Scripture comes from. Though I just want you to keep in mind that not all of us are going to feel drawn to these things the same way. Different people have different personalities, and different things actually draw us in and allure us. So the first example that we see in Matthew 6 is the desire for human approval. So before we arrive at our verses, there in the middle of chapter 6, Jesus addresses a few different topics. He addresses giving to the poor, he addresses prayer, and he addresses fasting as well. And in each of these things, he challenges the motivations of our friends, the Pharisees. You see, they did good deeds so that everybody would see them doing it. They loved public prayer because it was an opportunity for people to see how much they knew about God and how sophisticated their spirituality was. They even disfigured their faces so people would know when they were fasting and how spiritual they actually were. And so in each of these things, the Pharisees are seeking and craving to receive glory, not from God, but from man. They wanted to be recognized, they wanted to be important, and they wanted to receive human approval. This was the thing that the Pharisees treasured so greatly. And I want to tell you right now, this is something that can entice us as well. And it doesn't even have to be in a Christian context. Instead of us doing things for God, whether it's at church or at work or at home or with our friends, we can actually be motivated to do things because we want to be recognized and we want other people to approve of us. It's true. And these can be the thing that actually motivates us to do the things that we do. Not because we want to serve God, but because we want this approval for other people. Now, I wonder if that rings true for anyone here. How important is it for you to be approved of by other people? How important for you is it for other people to look up to you and to think that you're special? Or how much do you love hearing that you've done a great job at something? These are some of the kinds of questions that we have to ask ourselves if we're measuring how much we actually need and how healthy our need is for human approval. So that's the first example that we see in Matthew chapter 6. So the next thing we see, what is that going to be? Well, this one's actually a fair bit more literal when it comes to stirring up earthly treasures. And this category that can captivate our hearts is literally just the love of money. Now, I'm sure there is a small minority of people who actually just love money and they love seeing the number tick up and up and up in their bank account and their investments. I'm sure that is a small group of people. But I think the reason that we love money is because of the power it actually gives us, you know. We can buy a nice house and buy a nice car, buy nice clothes, go nice places, do nice things, and we never have to worry about how much we're spending because we have so much money. If we think these ways, that is a sign of the love of money. And I want to tell you right now, this particular treasure is so tempting and dangerous for some people that Jesus even says you cannot love both God and money. It's how dangerous it is. Think about that rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he wants to know what he has to do to inherit eternal life. And what Jesus essentially communicates to him is that his love for money is the barrier to him coming into the kingdom of God. That's what's holding him back. So for him specifically, not all rich people, but for him specifically, he needed to sell all his possessions in order to come and actually follow after Jesus. But if you know the story, the man goes away sad because he had such great wealth. And so we can see that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Now, if you're reflecting on this and you're thinking about your own selves, I want to give you just one sort of tip to think about this, to think through this. So if you would find it extremely hard to part with some of your earthly possessions, if there's things that you own and you just could not give them up, then that's probably a sign that material wealth and money has actually captivated your heart and it's competing for your affections. So that brings us to the last example in Matthew 6 of something that we can actually treasure. And this one is actually derivative of the love of money. And this is the desire for financial security and comfortability. So you see, after Jesus addressed the love of money, he then commanded people not to worry about their lives. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. And these concerns that people can have, they don't stem from a greedy desire to have more wealth. They stem from a desire to have security, to have safety, to have comfortability. And this is because, you know, we don't all have to want to be millionaires. We don't all have to want to be millionaires, but none of us want to run the risk of going without or not being able to pay a bill because we crave security. We want this, not security in God. We want financial security. We insure everything. We have credit cards. We work crazy hours. Sometimes we don't even raise our kids or be able to spend time with them. And people do even more extreme things for the sake of financial security. I wonder how many times our desire for financial security has actually overpowered our faithfulness to God in a decision. So those are just three examples of things that we can treasure in our hearts with a love that should actually be reserved for God. So now that we've explored some of these things, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's actually time to revisit the verdict that Jesus gave on these kind of pursuits. So let me remind you of what it says in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So here Jesus is teaching people not to pour your lives out into storing up these earthly treasures. If it's the glory of man or wealth or security, it could be something else for you. Whatever it is, Jesus commands us not to actually focus our energy and our effort on attaining these earthly things. That's what Jesus commands us to do. And you might ask, well, why not? Why wouldn't we be able to spend our time doing these things? Well, verse 19 there lists three threats: moth, rust, and theft. And all of these threats point to the same truth about this earth. It's temporary. It's going to perish one day. It's fleeting. Beautiful clothes and curtains, they're going to be eaten by moth, or they're going to get stains on them, or they're going to wear out and die. Jewelry, other valuable things, they're going to rust, they're going to break or get stolen or lost. Literally everything we can work for here on this earth is going to be lost at some point or another. That's the reality of all earthly treasure. It's all in the process of getting old and breaking. Everything wears out, everything perishes, and only a relentless pursuit of income is going to slow down the decay of the things that we own. We'd have to work crazy hours, crazy, crazy investment of our time in order to sustain the things that this earth has to offer. Now, this is something that is very profoundly expressed in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. This is the counsel that the author would give to anyone who would seek to make a name for themselves and to be known by those around them. This is what he says. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who haven't even been born yet. So in other words, what you really desire is to be noticed, to be known, and to be considered memory worthy. But the fact of the matter is, you won't be remembered. You know, you won't. That's just the fact of the matter. A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. Moth and rust, they are not going to wither our memory. Time, all by itself, is going to cause us to be forgotten. That's the truth. And that's why Ecclesiastes declares that all things under the sun are meaningless or vanity, a chasing after the wind. What this means is that anything earthly loses its significance when you actually remove it from the context that God designed it to have. We'll explore that in a little bit more detail now. So the same thing is also true about our material possessions. So the author of Ecclesiastes, he built a kingdom. He amassed wealth, and he had so many subjects and servants. And again, listen to the same conclusion that he draws about his emphatic wealth. It's all meaningless or vanity, a chasing after the wind. So what will be the point of us investing all our time and effort, pouring our lives into the pursuit of material wealth and gain, when this guy literally possessed a kingdom? He possessed a kingdom, and he said his ultimate conclusion about having this is it was meaningless. It was a chasing after the wind. This man, he was going to die. His son was going to inherit the kingdom, and he wasn't going to actually appreciate it. And more than likely, if you read Ecclesiastes, he was probably going to squander it as well. But that is the nature of things that are under the sun. Whatever earthly things our hearts are tempted to treasure is ultimately going to be taken away from us, or even more painfully, us away from them. It's literally only a matter of time. So of course, Jesus is going to command us not to pour our lives into earthly pursuits. Human approval, material wealth, and financial security are literally all temporary illusions. They aren't real. Making our lives about achieving these things is literally a waste of the precious time that we have. The saying that life is short literally couldn't be more true. To give you a picture, if you're a picture person, the sand in the egg timer of our lives is actually quickly falling down when it comes to the significance of these earthly things which we can pursue. So what alternative is given to the pursuit of these fleeting treasures? Well, Jesus follows on from this in verse 20. So I'm going to read that for us again. So after verse 19, he says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So instead of striving after earthly treasures, he actually teaches us that we can spend our lives striving after heavenly treasures. These ones are not perishable. They are imperishable. When God's kingdom comes, his eternal kingdom, these things will still remain. They'll carry over into this kingdom. They will endure. So how is it that we store up these heavenly treasures? Well, first of all, we actually need to obtain entry into the kingdom of God, as many of you already have actually obtained. Consider the parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew 13. This is what it says. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought that field." So that's the truth about the kingdom of God as well. It's literally greater than anything that we could obtain here on this earth. The man in the story, he sold everything he owned. Everything he had, he sold to obtain this hidden treasure. And the Bible teaches us this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's worth giving up everything in order for us to actually obtain. It's because it's so much greater value, so much greater worth is held in the kingdom of God. And the reason behind this is simple. When I say it, you might think, well, that doesn't sound that simple, but it is very simple. When we don't have Christ, we're not just in spiritual poverty, we're actually spiritually dead. That's what the scriptures teach us. We were blind to knowing the wonders of God. We didn't experience him. We were enslaved to the power of sin. And literally, we had eternal death. That consequence was looming over us on account of our sin. That was us before Christ. But through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God actually makes a way for us to come alive spiritually. That's what the scriptures teach us. Through repentance and faith, we come to experience the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. We also can be set free from the power of sin in our lives. And ultimately, we're not just saved from the fire of hell, but we are brought into God's kingdom for all eternity. There, Christ reigns as our King forever, and we are with him. That's the hope that we have as Christians. And so hopefully you can see how entry into the kingdom of God is the first and the greatest treasure that we could possibly hope to obtain in this life. If anyone here hasn't yet received this treasure, then I'd encourage you to turn to God. Put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, and if you believe in your heart of hearts that he died and was raised to life again for your sin, then you'll actually be saved. You will come into the kingdom of God for all eternity. That's the truth. So believe in your heart of hearts and you will be saved. Now, the second way that we can actually store up our treasures in heaven is by following Jesus. Just simply following that man in our lives. What happens when we follow him is we actually stop the unhealthy pursuit of these treasures which have taken root in our heart. The author of Ecclesiastes, he got it right when he concluded that everything under the sun is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. And that's true. If you're looking under the sun, everything under here, it is meaningless when you divorce it from its original purpose that God actually had for it. We need God to actually bring meaning and purpose to our lives here on this earth. So I'm not saying that everyone has to quit their jobs, sell their homes, and then become a monk in a field somewhere. But what we do need to do, and what this does mean for us, is that if we seek Christ and we seek to faithfully live for him in whatever part of our lives that God has put us in, then we will actually be putting treasures for ourselves, storing treasures for ourselves up in heaven. Now, I wish Brett was here, but this one's for him. If we align our lives with an investment strategy like this, then it's going to produce incredibly lucrative eternal rewards. Finance people, that might go over your head, but that's the truth. If you want to make a lot of money here on earth, that's being lucrative. Following Christ in our lives actually gives us a lucrative life in eternity. To give you some examples, if we stand up for our faith in the face of persecution, then Jesus says, "Great is your reward in heaven." His disciples, they left everything to follow him. And he actually said to them, "You will sit on thrones in my kingdom." That's what he said. Anyone who gives up home or possession or family will receive 100-fold in the eternal kingdom of God. So when we seek to live for Jesus, then it may actually come at a great earthly cost to us. It might be costly. But the fact of the matter is it leads to intense eternal rewards for us. And the scriptures don't even describe them because we can't even begin to imagine how intense these rewards are that are spoken about. And so Jesus encourages us to seek these and not the earthly treasures that will be eaten away by moth and rust and theft. And so as we kind of bring this message to a close this morning, I actually wonder how it is that we're currently living our lives. Remember what it says in verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I don't know about you, but I think this verse has to actually stop us and force us to consider what it is that our hearts treasure the most. Have a think for a moment. Is it Christ? Is that what your hearts treasure the most? Is it maybe a specific person? Is it receiving human approval, the glory of man, or wealth, or security? It might even be romance. What is it for you that your heart actually treasures more than anything else on this earth? The truth is, wherever your heart lies, your desires and your passions will draw you towards that thing. If it's not Christ, your heart is going to draw you constantly away from God, constantly away from Christ. And so if you're not sure about where your heart actually lies, then maybe you could actually consider your motivations. What is it that's driving you to do the things that you do? You know, why do you help others? Why do you give to those in need? What causes you to love your friends and family? Why do you love your wife? What drives you to work long and hard hours? Or what even brings you to church on a Sunday? These are the kinds of questions that we actually have to ask ourselves if we want to penetrate into our hearts to see what's going on in here and to see how healthy our desires and our motivations are. Ultimately, all we need to do is very simple, is work out what kind of treasures we're currently striving for in our lives. Work out what it is and why we're striving for it. If it's Christ, then praise God, keep doing that. But if it's anything else, why? Why are you settling for second best? Why are you settling for something that's worthless in comparison, that's counterfeit? Why pursue after these temporal things that are going to be gone when you die? Why would you do that? Literally doesn't make sense. If that's us, then what we do? We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. Ask him to renovate our hearts, to borrow from Dallas Willard. That's what we need to do. How can we possibly be satisfied with something that is second best? It's a pretty challenging but simple question that we all need to consider here this morning. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Do not store up your treasures here on earth, but store up your heavenly treasures. Store up your heavenly treasures. They will not rot. They will not perish. They will not pass away. Where your treasure is, there your heart will lie also. So let me pray and we'll finish our time together. Father God, I just thank you that we could each be here this morning. And God, I just want to confess that we do. Our hearts, they go astray and we seek after other things. Sometimes we want to be approved by people. We want their acclaim and applause, and so we do things that are not in keeping with our faith. And Lord, I'm sorry that we do that. I feel like we would all do this. Father, sometimes we choose money over you, and God, we're sorry. We're sorry that we do these things. Help us and reform our hearts to seek after you. Lord, speak to each one of us this morning. This all lands with us very, very differently. Some people love money and some people don't care about it. Lord, you know our hearts. Each one of us, you know. You know what we need. And so I pray that you would help us today. And as we move forward thinking about these things, Lord, I pray that you lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Kelly. We're going to continue.